Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Straight up with no chaser. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Time to talk some fantasy football in the sports bar with NFL Network's Michael F. Florio. Just a laugher last night, Michael. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. But we've got week four on the mind. We've got the waiver wire to look forward to here, and hopefully a chance to improve our rosters as we continue to compete for a fantasy championship. How you holding up after last night, buddy?
Oh, I mean, Victory Tuesday. How could we be feeling any better? And the best kind of Victory Tuesday, right? One that we didn't have to sweat. It didn't come down to the wire like so many Bills games in years past has. And if you have Bills in fantasy football, you probably had a good night as well.
Yeah, let's start there, because what would be your advice? And we had some of the stats, but I mean, from week to week, it's such a diversified Buffalo attack here that, I mean, you're not going to get a zero from Kincaid, you would figure, or a zero from James Cook, but who is worthy of putting in your lineup this week from Buffalo as the Bills are taking on a much tougher opponent here in the Baltimore Ravens on the road?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I think there's four Bills that you just keep riding with. Obviously, Josh Allen is a must-start. Obviously, James Cook is a must-start. But you mentioned Dalton Kincaid and then Khalil Shakir, who, I don't know if you guys remember, I was talking up on this show way back in the summer and everything. It's coming to fruition. He's playing the slot more than anything now. He has been Josh Allen's top target 2 weeks in a row, and the Ravens have two weaknesses on defense. They struggle against tight ends, and they struggle against slot receivers. So I think this year, at least so far they have. So I think this is a game where the Bills will look to emphasize getting Shakir and Kincaid the ball. And look, we're seeing it play out before our eyes, but when there is a close, like a third down or something like that, they are clearly giving the ball to Khalil Shakir in a lot of those plays. So I think he is in play. And this could be the first time all year the Bills are in a position where they actually have to throw the entire game, because it's been blowout after blowout to start the year.
We're talking to Michael F. Florio, NFL Network, some fantasy football here in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. Mike, I want to look for value on the waiver wire. I don't want to chase points, and I feel like I might be chasing points, but this was a guy that a lot of people were talking about, and you might have even brought it up last week as far as like a target at wide receiver with the Niners being down, Deebo Samuel being down, George Kittle. Juwan Jennings has an absolute massive game against the Rams. Three touchdowns. Are we chasing points, or is this sustainable? Is he somebody worth picking up if he's available in your leagues?
Look, he's never going to do what he did last week again. Like that might go down as his career game when all is said and done. He scored nearly 50 fantasy points, but it all depends on the health of the other 49ers. If Deebo Samuel is out again, which it seems like he will be, Jennings is still in play, and if George Kittle is out again, which that one is a little bit more up in the air, if they're both out, yeah, Jennings is a must-start, I would say, because Brandon Ayuk continues to look like he's working his way back from the layoff he had in the summer. They're not going to face the Commanders every week, which is he's not going to do what he did last week every week, but if he's getting volume and he's in play, he is definitely someone that you need to pick up. To me, he is the best wide receiver to target for the immediate future, but understand, don't spend all of your fab or something like that, because when Deebo and Kittle come back, the party's over.
Michael, one of the things I love about this league, it's sometimes completely unpredictable. If we go back last week, I could not have imagined myself asking you a question about the viability of the Carolina Panther offense. But here we are, Carolina. Hey, see, it was just the quarterback. There's Andy Dalton. And was that just kind of a, you know, like in music they call it a one-hit wonder. Like, was that a one-hit wonder, Carolina, in Vegas? Or could that be, if you're in a pinch here, is Carolina taking on a Cincinnati defense, and all of a sudden it's like, what are they all about?
No, I think the Panthers are in play. Look, I'm not telling you like they're going to win the division or anything like that. And we have seen many times where there's a coaching change or a quarterback change and instills hope into a team. I don't think this is just that, because we had a game last year where Andy Dalton started and played the whole game, and he threw for over 300 yards in that one as well. And the thing is, Deontay Johnson has been my guy all summer long. He continues to get open at every time he's on the field, pretty much, it feels like. And now he has a quarterback that could get him the ball. So Deontay Johnson, to me, is a must-start option. I think Chuba Hubbard is a really good weekly play. The only thing is, don't go too crazy with Chuba if he's on your waiver wire, because Jonathan Brooks is looming and will be back as soon as next week, potentially. But the Cincinnati defense has stopped no one. I mean, I love Jaden Daniels, but they made Jaden Daniels and the Commanders look like vintage Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs from a few years ago. So that keeps the Panthers in play. And Dalton is even like a streaming option if you're going a little deeper at quarterback or in a two-quarterback league. The Andy Dalton revenge game, I think he is going to put up numbers against the Bengals.
Hey, let's talk a little bit about that second Monday night game, because the Commanders and Jaden Daniels was spectacular. I mean, you know, it feels like he's arrived 3 weeks into his young NFL career. It was great to see Terry McLaurin get more involved in the offense. Certainly there's some pieces there. Talk a little bit about the run game with Washington, because it feels like if it's not Jaden Daniels, it's not going to happen in the run game. And just what fruit could bear from this Washington offense now that their rookie quarterback has kind of arrived on the scene?
Yeah, Jaden Daniels has 171 rushing yards and 3 rushing touchdowns in 3 games. And I was talking to a friend about this. It could have been even more, because if you guys were watching that game last night, there was a sequence where 3 times Brian Robinson Jr. got stuffed on the goal line.
Yep.
But once there was an offside, on one of those ones where they threw the flag and blew the play dead, it was a designed play-action rollout for Jaden Daniels, which worked later in the game. So he could have had 2 rushing touchdowns last night as well, 28 fantasy points in 2 of his 3 games. I would rather have him than Joe Burrow. I would rather have him than Patrick Mahomes the rest of the way. I know it sounds spicy, but it's how I feel. Austin Eckler was my guy coming into this year at cost, and I will continue to say he has looked like Austin Eckler of old. He's been very electric every time he touches the ball. It's just he's been sharing volume with Brian Robinson. Volume has kept Robinson in play. He's looked good at times. He's looked so-so at others. I still think Eckler should get more of a share, but right now, Eckler didn't make the trip to Arizona. He's dealing with a concussion. So I think we have to plan on it being the Brian Robinson show this week, and if that is the case, he remains a player that you should be starting in fantasy.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're talking to Michael F. Florio, fantasy expert. You see him on the NFL Network. Michael, who are the New Orleans Saints? Are the Saints the team that was rolling through the first 2 weeks, and there they are doing a number, or was that just the team that, that's what we thought they were against Philadelphia last week? What would be your advice? Certainly Kamara you're not taking out, but what would be your advice with everybody else on that Saints offense as they play in Atlanta this week?
I think the truth is in the middle. You guys had asked me last week, and I said, like, I think the Saints offense will be usable for fantasy purposes, but they're obviously not going to, like, lead the league in scoring like they are. And then they had a regression game. This happens. One bad game does not completely erase the first 2 games, but I think what it does is it gives us a realistic sense of, like, okay, the Saints are an offense that we could trust Kamara, like you said. We could trust Chris Olave. Rashid Shaheed is one of the best home run hitters in the league. So I know he gave you a 0 last week. I was facing him in a few leagues. He could have had 2 touchdowns and another long catch. Like there was a lot of very close plays that didn't go his way. That's kind of what he is going to be. Derek Carr is a fringe QB1, QB2 right now, like similar to like Baker Mayfield in that sense. Like you don't feel, when you have them on your team, you don't feel like you have an every week must-start option, but more often than not, they are good enough to start and come through as a free, like a low-end QB1 with some spike weeks in there.
Michael LaFlorio, NFL Network, our guest, talking fantasy football, waiver wire day, and everybody loves that feeling of waking up on a Wednesday morning. It's like Christmas. You get to see who, if your waiver wires did go through. If you're invested in the Tampa Bay offense, you probably drafted Rashad White, but it turns out that Bucky Irving may be giving you some value. Talk a little bit about this backfield for Tampa Bay and whether or not Irving, if he's available, and he may be available in your leagues, whether or not he's worth throwing a claim in for.
Yes, you should 100% be picking up Bucky Irving, because for 2 years in a row, Rashad White has been one of the worst runners in the NFL. Of all running backs who get consistent volume like he does, he might be the worst. Last season, he had a league-low negative 110 rushing yards over expectation, and 2 years ago, he was in the bottom five with backfield mate Leonard Fournette, friend of the Bills. And what kept him afloat last year, though, was when he struggled as a runner, and the first month of the season was brutal for Rashad White. They just basically said, okay, we're going to start dumping off the ball to you in the passing game and kind of giving it to you in space there. And that not only kept him afloat, but led to him having a really good fantasy season. This year, though, they're like, okay, you're struggling to run. We'll just hand it off to our rookie, who is a better runner than you and can catch passes as well. So with Todd Bowles saying he's going to get more of an opportunity now, it is possible that he could steal this job away from Rashad White, in my opinion. And if nothing else, he could see enough volume where he's a guy that you could start in your flex some weeks.
We've got the quick turnaround for the Dallas Cowboys, and watch the end of that game. That was entertaining, but the Cowboys, they didn't show up in the first half there. What's your advice in the Cowboy backfield? I don't think you'd be wanting to start Zeke Elliott, but what about Rico Dowdle? Because that, to me, seems like the best of the bunch here. What's your advice when it comes to the Cowboys plan in a short week here against the Giants?
I think it's fine to pick up Rico, because they're already talking about maybe Zeke getting less and less volume there. But Rico, I agree with you, he's looked the best, but it's not like he's looked great himself, and the Cowboys are throwing the ball on over 70% of their plays so far this season. So he is someone that I'm fine picking up. Look, if you're in an injury pinch or something like that and he's your best option, sure. But in most instances, I'm not trying to start him this week.
Hey, if you're somebody who's streaming defenses, Michael, throughout the course of the season, are there any team defenses that you like heading into week four?
Uh-oh. I think we lost Michael. He's still there. Michael?
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah,
I'm
gotcha.
So sorry about
we got
that.
You. That's okay, buddy.
Steelers at Colts, I know they might not be out there in a bunch of leagues, but the Cowboys at the Giants is one that I like. I think both the Dolphins and Titans defenses are in play in that matchup, because Will Levis turns the ball over at least in a head-scratching way once a game. And Tim Boyle, if he's the starter for the Dolphins, he has 4 career touchdowns and 12 interceptions, and compare that to his college numbers, it's even better. So that is a big concern there. Raiders are in play against Cleveland, because Watson took 8 sacks last week, and that offense just looks broken. And then we saw, speaking of broken offenses, we saw the Jags last night with Trevor Lawrence, so I think you could pick on them and get the Texans in too. A lot of good streaming defenses this week.
Michael F. Florio getting us all primed and ready for our waiver wire here tonight and trying to win week 4. Remind everybody, Michael, how they can get your content here as we prepare through the week.
Yeah, Twitter at Michael F. Florio, NFL.com, NFL Network, Fantasy Live. And if you still want more, Rotoballer and Florio's Football Show is my podcast over there.
How you feeling about the Bills on Sunday night, Mike?
The Bills have been dominant for their last 10 quarters. I feel good, man. I picked Josh Allen to win the MVP. He is clearly the front runner there. And if with a strong next 3 weeks, I think he could take a stranglehold on it. Look, the Bills play the Ravens really tough. I think they go into Baltimore and they come away with the win.
All right. You don't have to show this if you don't want to, but what number did you get Josh Allen at for MVP?
Unfortunately, I can't get him at any number, but I would take him at whatever the number was, because I was – look, I picked him the last, 2 years as well. I'm not going to say this is the first time, but uh-huh. I think he should have won last year, and I think it's a narrative-based award. So now with no Diggs, no Gabe Davis, a lot of key pieces lost on defense, if the Bills have a Bills season, he's going to get all the credit finally, and that should be enough for him to win the MVP, has been my thinking.
He's absolutely correct on that. The narrative is in Buffalo's favor for Josh Allen. Michael, always great to kind of pick your brain here. Thanks so much for the time today.
Thank you.
I feel horrible. I asked him a question he obviously can't answer. He's NFL Network. He's not going to. He's not betting on the NFL. He's playing fantasy on the NFL.
Right. He can give advice. No, that's fine. Like,
I just thought it was interesting how that number shifted so quickly just over the course of last night. It was amazing to watch.
Who's the coach of the year?
Ooh.
Now, snap. Oh, it's a guy in Minnesota, O'Connell.
No.
Right.
He's Seattle. If they keep winning, they're first place in the very quietly first place in the NFC West. And I don't think anybody had them doing what they're doing. McDonald would be the guy, I think.
Can I throw out some a coach that actually they have a loss on their ledger? But if you won two games with Malik Willis.
Oh, yeah. LaFleur.
LaFleur is going to be
for
in there.
Sure.
Yeah. Seattle. A lot of good ones. I'm looking at all the over-unders. Want to take a guess at which game, Danger, has the lowest over-under this week, which would mean, yeah, you might not want to plug in anybody fantasy-wise on this.
Let me look at these matchups here for week four. So the lowest over-under right now has to be, oh, God. Yeah, it's Cleveland and Vegas.
It is not.
What?
That's the second lowest. It's Monday night. Tennessee, Miami at 36.
Oh,
and a half.
Yeah.
That's absolutely gross. They put that as the 7:30 game. Yeah, Boyle against Will Levis. Excitement indeed. Highest over under. I never would have thought we would be saying this, but that's how much everyone's excited about the Washington offense. And I'm wondering if that's actually just square money pushing that up on the Commanders there. 50.5 for Washington at Arizona.
I know why you're bringing this up. And let's let you scratch that itch, Gene. I mean, look, it's been a horrible, horrible season so far if you're playing Survivor football. If you're still in a pool, you've probably won it at this point. I mean, the pools have probably all dried up.
I got to credit the executive producer because she is sometimes, you know, like my conscience. I lost week one, but I could have bought back in just solely on the Monday night game.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you know, I could buy right back in and buy the Niners. Dude, I would have been out the next week because I would have been on the Ravens.
That's
Ravens
right.
Against the Raiders.
That's
Are you
right.
kidding?
That's right. So?
So I'm still looking at lines.
I know you are. Do you have a pick? Do you have a game that you love?
That's a good question. I haven't thought of this. Well, we wouldn't be taking Tennessee-Miami, that's for sure.
I totally put you on the spot. But I want to see the mind work. I want to see the mind of Gene Battaglia go through the process of elimination, applying the rules in real time.
In real time.
To get a winner in Survivor football.
Kansas City is 8.5 against the Chargers. We're not touching that. Kansas City's been living dangerously. I could see them losing that. Don't go anywhere near
divisional
that.
Game.
Yeah.
I mean, Taylor Heineke starting for the Chargers, if that's indeed the case, that's why that line is what it is.
San Francisco is at home. That's the highest spread, 9.5 against New England. I'd actually be inclined to look at the Jets this week. Home against Denver. Denver got the W. They're feeling good. But back-to-back road games and Bo Nix against that defense. And granted, it hasn't been to expectation, but I think the Jets can do enough here. And there's not going to be any Zach Wilson on the bench narrative here, you know, for Denver going back. So I think the Jets would be my choice.
Okay. You'd go with the Jets.
Oh, man. Now you're making me feel bad.
No, I think I might go the Niners. I think I would go the Niners. Although, who knows? I probably would have taken the Niners. You know, when did the Niners disappoint us? Was it against Minnesota?
You're right.
Yeah, you probably would have said, well, the Niners were the road team, so you wouldn't
have taken them.
Yeah, that's true.
No, I think the Niners against New England is kind of a
safe play, right? You would imagine, based on what you saw on Thursday night, that New England, getting the win week one against Cincinnati, now that we've got 3 weeks worth of data points, kind of makes sense. Cincinnati's a little bit of a mess. And New England isn't much better, but they were better enough week one to get past Cincinnati and eliminate all of us from our survivor pools.
Yeah, and I know I'm going to see Jeff, the Minister of Mayhem, on Thursday. The Raiders, that's a college loss. No, wait a second. That's a college or high school loss. Like, hey, we won this game. We've arrived. We're playing the worst team in the league.
You're really going to rub his nose in it after Carolina beat the Raiders.
Well, every Raider fan was not surprised. That's the thing I don't know about Raiders. It's almost like they secretly anticipated that they would lose to Andy Dalton at home.
Come on, Cleveland. Cleveland now. You gotta redeem yourself against Deshaun Watson.
So, with the Bills not playing on Sunday, afforded me the opportunity. I can only guess what game you watched, Danger. I watched, actually, Giants and Browns, and I was amazed. Yes, the Browns' offensive line isn't where it should be. Yes, now they have injuries. Wyatt Teller not available. Deshaun Watson is cooked. Mm-hmm. He is not making decisions. He is a mess right now. He is not processing what he's seeing. I don't know if he gets that back. So for me, for Cleveland, the best thing is keep losing. I was surprised they didn't go to Winston earlier in that game. That's now, how bad Watson was.
Now, on the other side of that field, Daniel Jones. What do you make of Daniel Jones? Because it felt like that was a game where it's like, if you watch Daniel Jones play, you'd be like, yeah, maybe he's not bad.
Well, you brought up the point that can a good coordinator do things for you? And I would bring this up first time watching front to back, the receiver in New York.
Oh, Neighbors, he's amazing.
He is. He's at OBJ level.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying that lightly. I mean, that is he is open everywhere. He should be in your fantasy lineup regardless. So, to me, it at least makes the Giants watchable here.
Yeah, Neighbors is must-see TV. I want to say he's the most targeted wide receiver in the NFL through 3 weeks. They're making plans to get him the ball, and that's got to make Daniel Jones' life a little bit easier. And if you're Brian Daboll, yeah, you're foolish if you're not finding ways to get the ball in his hands.
If the Giants somehow beat the Cowboys, this doesn't look as bad. Okay, at Seattle, Cincinnati, Philadelphia, at Pittsburgh, Washington, Carolina, Tampa. And then that puts you on Thanksgiving Day against Dallas.
I know that they just won, and I'm not trying to...
They're not going to be farting around, you say.
I'm not trying to pee in the Cheerios of Giants fans. I still think they're a bad team. And I don't know that Daniel Jones is good. I don't know that he's bad. I don't know what he is. I think Dallas, after doing what they did the last two home games, go on the road, maybe this is exactly what they need. I think Dallas just absolutely whoops the Giants on Thursday night. Sorry, Giant fan. 5.5 is the line right now? Yeah, I'll take Dallas and the points on that one.
Ooh,
I'll take Dallas and the points on that one. There you go. Michael F. Florio talking some fantasy football, looking at some of these lines ahead of week 4. And, of course, the Bills traveling to Baltimore for primetime Sunday night football. We'll have that action for you with pregame coverage starting Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock here on the Fan Rochester, and kickoff just after 8.
Yeah, let's get to your calls here in happy hour. The Bills are 3-0. That was a Monday night win at home. My gosh. No, none of us really expected that wide a margin. Exciting times in Buffalo.
Yeah, we'll get to that. We have time for your calls if you want to pull up a stool. Would love to hear from you. Get your thoughts on what was an amazing night last night, not just because the Bills get the win. There was plenty of firsts on that field, and you know, been saying it all afternoon. It feels like right now the Buffalo Bills have the best vibes in the NFL all around. We'll get to that and more next, along with a round of shots. 866-4FAN is the phone number. 585-866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.